last year for 3 weeks. Next week, the week after, and the week after that, I won't be here. Unless I can master being in two places at the same time, then maybe I will be here. What? Maybe what? Okay. Well, no, but still, are we going to three Shabbos? No? One, two. Okay. You're coming on. In any case, we'll be back for Wednesday. We'll let you know ahead of time. Okay. And you will do your, you'll do your job. No, it's 3 weeks, but it could be that
Wednesdays.
Okay. We're up to Perek Yutes, towards the middle of the Perek. He's extolling the milas of Gemilus Chasadim. We're going to have to finish on time because I have to get to this board before they get married. So, okay. The Omru Od, Dorash Rava, Kol Mishi Yeshbo Gimel Midos Halalu, the Yadua Shu Mizaru Shel Avrom Avinu. Right, anybody who has these three midos, meaning that you can see on them that these character traits exist by them. So you know for sure that he's a Jew. Rachman, Baishon, Gomle Chasodim. And the truth is that these three midos are each one related to another one of the avos. Let's start with the last one, because it works backwards, I guess. Zaro Shel Avrom Avinu. The last one, meaning if you can trace it back, you'll get to Gemilas Chasodim. That's Avrom Avinu. The one before that is Baishonim. That is Yitzchak. Because Yitzchak was Gevura. Gevura means to hold yourself back, to contain yourself. Yerushalayim. And the one of the hallmarks of Yerushalayim is Busha. It says, L'man tiyat yiras Hashem al pneichem levilti techeto is zeha Busha. Shame is a tremendous contributory factor to not sinning. You're ashamed of what you're doing. So shame is related to Gvura, and Rachamim is Yaakov Avinu. In fact, Yaakov Avinu is Midas HaTorah. Torah is called Rachmona, because Rachamim is the synthesis between Chesed and Din. So Busha comes from Din, and Chesed is Chesed, and Rachamim is somewhere in between. Right? Rachamim is that you don't get exactly what you deserve, but what you deserve is preserved, where the Rachamim doesn't destroy the din, it just mitigates it. So that's a mitzvah of Yaakov Avinu, and that's why the Torah is called Rachamona, right? Because it's a source of Rachamim. The Rabbanu Shem is called Rachamona too. Okay. In any case, what's it called? So that is what's it called, the three midos of Klal Yisrael, and again, each of the avos contributed one of these midos. The Amru, Amr Rabbi Lezer Gedolim Gemilus Chesed Yosem and Tzedakah. Gemilus Chesed is greater than Tzedakah. Tzedakah, you give to poor people, you give money. That's Tzedakah. Gemilus Chesed is things you can do for rich people, poor people, with money, with your body, with your mind, by giving them advice. That's also Gemilus Chesed. Shenemar. Ziru lachem l'tzedakah, v'kitzru l'fi chesed. Right? You plant with tzedakah, but what you harvest is how much chesed is involved. The Omru Od, b'shlosh advarim gedolah gemilas chasadim l'tzedakah. Gemilas chasadim is in three ways greater than just giving money at tzedakah. Shat tzedakah b'mono, v'gemilas chesed b'gufo. Tzedakah is with money, and gemilas chesed, you use your entire body. Like we said, you can use all the different parts of your body, all the different parts of your existence, your mind, your speech, your physical body, to do Gemilas Chesed. Tzedakah laniyam, Gemilas Chesed laniyam ashirim. Tzedakah, giving money, is just to people who need money. That's the poor people. But Gemilas Chesed, people, even rich people, sometimes need a Gemilas Chesed. Need achnosas orchim, they need bikur cholim, or whatever. It applies across the board to rich people and poor people. Tzedakah l'chayim. You can only give tzedakah to living people. You can't give tzedakah to people who are dead. Gemilas chasadim bein l'chayim bein l'meisim. But gemilas chesed you can do even to a person who's no longer here, havayis hanes or whatever is a gemilas chesed. The omru od v'nosam lecha rachamim v'richanecha. Right, the Rabbanu Shem will give you rachamim and he'll have mercy on you. And we learn from there, kol hamarachim alabrios merachmim olav min hashamayim. If you have mercy on others, then they have mercy on you. Then the Rabbanu Shem will have mercy on you. The zepasher. Because we know the Rabbanu Shalom's not nature, but his derech is, the way of the Rabbanu Shalom is to function with people, mida keneged mida, right? In kind. Both when he punishes them in kind, and when he rewards them. One of the purposes of doing it in kind is that people should be aware of why they're getting the reward or why they're getting the punishment. So they can relate the reward and the punishment to what either they did wrong or what they did right. And then you see more clearly reward and punishment, that it's a result of something specific. Therefore, somebody who has mercy on other people and does chesed with other people, he'll be zochet, the Rabbanu Shalom will have mercy on him and do chesed with him. And he'll forgive his averus bechesed, meaning that even if he doesn't really deserve it 100%, he'll get mechila. V'hu masha omru chazal, l'mi nosei ovon, l'mi sha'over al pesha. Nosei ovon, v'over al pesha, the Gemara darshins, who does the Rabbanu Shalom forgive? Somebody who's over al pesha, meaning that he's over al mi dosa. He what's it called? He gives in to other people. Umisha ain't a rotzal haver al midosa. Somebody doesn't want to give in, stands on principle all the time. Oh, ain't a rotzal ligmol chesed, or he doesn't want to do any kindness with other people. He's a Scrooge kind of person, right? He may adin no sin shigamim lo yasu el shura sadin. So he deserves then to be functioned with the same way on the Rabbanu Shalom. You stand on principle, you only do what you have to do. No, don't go out of your way for other people, so the Rabbanu Shalom is not going to go out of his way for you, and he's going to give you exactly what you deserve, nothing more. And that may not sound so terrible. Okay, so you get what you deserve. But who in the world, in this world, can really stand up if they only get what they deserve? Because who says we deserve b'chalal too much, and on the negative side we deserve plenty negative. So if we don't have any mercy and the Rabbanu Shalom doesn't do any chesed with us, we're really of tzaris. He says therefore on the Iyunim over here, Rabbi Cheskel Sarna says that therefore chesed, doing chesed, is really a not just a schus, it's not just a merit that you have, but it's a what's it called, zechus hakiyum. It's what gives you the ability to continue to exist. Because without any chesed from the Rabbanu Shalom, and without any rachamim, a person's finished. Now, if you get exactly what you deserve, who mi yitzlak lefonecho badin? This is a quote that in a second. So therefore, we had before that the chachamim were asked why have they had a long life, and one of the things was chesed, because chesed gives a person the ability to continue to exist. Because if you don't do chesed, you're not going to get chesed from the Rabbanu Shalom, and your existence is in danger. The David HaMelech mispalu v'omer al tovo b'mishpat esavdecha ki lo yitzlak lofanecha kol chai. We say it on Rosh Hashanah, right? Al tovo b'mishpat imanu ki lo yitzlak lofanecha. Don't come with us with pure judgment, pure justice, because who can say that they have enough merit to exist with pure justice? Amnam ha'osah chesed yikabel chesed. Person who does chesed will receive chesed. The chom ashiyir belasos kachir belakabel. It's not just you do chesed, you get chesed, but it goes according to degree. The more you do chesed, the more chesed you get. The more significant the chesed, the more significant the chesed you get. The David ha'yim mishal bin midasos dos hatova. David HaMelech, what's it called, praised himself with this midah. Shafil sonav ha'yim mishtad lehetiv. Not only did he do good to his friends, he even tried to do good to his enemies. V'zeu mashakosu v'ani b'chalosam, when they got sick, my enemies, levushi sak onishi b'tzom nafshi, I used to fast for them. When they were sick, my enemies were sick. So I did them a chesed and daven for them. The Omar im Gomalti shol mira. I paid back. I never paid back the people who paid me bad. I never paid back. Paid back at bad. Included in this idea of being a Baal Chesed, right, is not to harm or hurt any creation, afilu balechayim, even animals, v'lerachim v'lachus aleihem, to have rachmanis on them, right, and to be careful not to hurt them or harm them or cause them pain. The chen hu omer yodei atzadik nefesh behemto, a tzadik even knows the nefesh of his behemah. There are those that hold that the isser of Tzar Bali Chaim, of harming animals, is a Torah injunction. And at least it's rabbinic. It's for sure something you have to do. Question is it sourced in the Torah, or it's only rabbinic? To be a real chassid, you have to acquire the midah of chesed. The tia magmaso tomid lasus koras ruach lebriya. You constantly want to make people happy and make them comfortable. The lo ligrom lo l'shum tzar, and not to cause them any, what's it called, pain or discomfort. Okay, one or two things here, and then we'll go to the halacha. First of all, this idea of not wanting to cause pain to anyone, animals, surely human beings, even what's it called, goyim. Right, the Rabbeinu Yona says on the Mishnah, "Have you misspelled b'shlomo shel malchus?" Right, shel moli moroa ishes reyu chayim below. You should always daven for the welfare of the government, because if there are no governments, then there's anarchy, and people swallow each other up alive, and there'll be total anarchy, which is a terrible social situation. So, the Rabbeinu Yona, you would normally think that it's talking about a malchus with their Jews. So if the malchus, whatever the malchus is, at least there's some order, right? And if there's no order, then there's chaos. So daven for the shlom of the malchus, right? And because if there's no malchus, Jews will suffer. Eventually, Jews are going to suffer. He says not talking about that. Sure, it's talking about that too, but it's even talking about davening for the welfare of a malchus where there are no Jews at all. Right, the daven for the welfare of the Hutsis and the Tutsis. I'm sure there are no Jews there. Even Lubavitch is not there. I'm sure. Right, and if they kill each other out, who really cares? Right, right? He says no. Tzaddikim care. A tzaddik cares of the welfare of every human being, Jew, non-Jew, makes no difference. The Netziv says that is the mid of Yashus, the Avos Hakdoshim were Yeshorim. He said aside from being frum, they also were straight. And he says that they were concerned about all other people, even goyim, even Odeh Avodah Zarah, people that they hated their ideology, they hated what they stood for, what they believed in, but they dealt with them straight, honestly, right? And they davened for them. Avraham davened for Sodom. He hated what Sodom stood for, but if you can daven for them, they're human beings. So daven for them. If there's a chance they'll do tshuva, a chance that there's tzaddikim who will save them, go for it. So that's called yashrus, and that's called the Rabbeinu Yonah says tzaddik is concerned, what's it called, on the shlom of kol ha'olam kulam. He's concerned that all human beings should be at peace and not be fighting and not be harmed or whatever. And therefore surely even animals. Right? They're also Briyas of the Rabbanu Shalom. They bring down that, what's it called, the Arizal never even killed bugs. They were bothering him, so he shooed them away, took it out and put it outside or whatever, but didn't kill it. Right? If it's not necessary to kill, then you don't do it. The halacha really is that if it's a tzorech for a human being, you know, all these animal rights groups, right, is not the same thing as Tzar Bali Chaim. I'll tell you in 1 second why. But if there's any need for a human being, then there's no isser of Tzar Bali Chaim, there's no isser of Baal Tashchis. Right? You're not wasting something, you're using it. Right? It's not called wasting, it's called using. Wasting means wanton waste where there's no purpose. So killing bugs, if they bother you, right, if you have ants in your kitchen, you don't have to go and pick them up delicately one by one and escort them outside. you could take the can of Raid or whatever, Sano or whatever, and obliterate them, genocide on the spot. Right? That's a tzorech ha'adam, and not worry about tzar balei chayim, not worry about batashves or whatever. The Arizal had his reasons why he did what he did, but the lemaisa halacha wise, 100% okay. Right? Especially if there's any human need. So making experiments on animals is 100% okay if it's going to benefit human beings. Except you should do it in a way that is necessary and not give unnecessary pain, right? Except if doing unnecessary pain is going to cost you extra money, extra bother, whatever, you can give it the unnecessary. That's called necessary. Anything that's tzorech ha'adam. Why? Because animals were created to serve people. That was the purpose. So therefore, people who take this to an extreme, like these animal rights groups, where even things that are necessary for people, like people want to make clothing from animals, right? Leather shoes, mink coats, whatever it may be, right, is 100% halachically okay. There's no source for not having these things or not allowing them. Even if they call the animal pain, right, as long as it's not unnecessary pain. It's necessary for the tzorich of the person. The Sefer HaIkarim says that's what led to the flood, because people equated animals with people. Right? People don't eat animals because they feel that it's not right to eat your peer. Right? You know, we're all in this world together, and we're just a more developed animal, and they're less developed animals, and really we shouldn't be eating the animals. Right? I don't know why you can eat tomatoes then. The tomatoes also have a nefesh or whatever, but in any case, some people don't eat anything. That's only meat, minerals. They'll last too long altogether then. But in any case, animals not. And they're more concerned about animals. In Nazi Germany, they're more concerned about the dogs and cats that the Jews left behind, that Nebuch, were starving in the streets, and they were concerned about Jews that were being killed. The Sefer HaIkarim says what happened before the Mabul is that Cain was an Oved Adama. He didn't want to be a shepherd because he didn't want to rule over animals who he felt were equal to him. And that's where this philosophy started, that animals and human beings are equal. So you would think that that elevates the animals and makes them really special. No. What it does is it devaluates the purpose, the importance of human life. And people begin to think that humans and animals are the same. That's what happens. That's what happens in the, where they believe in evolution. So people are just glorified animals. And they've just developed a little bit more than the ape. Some people yes, some people not. But in any case, but basically, maybe yeah. And therefore, we're basically the same. So why should we take advantage of our peers? And therefore you don't eat meat, and you don't do anything for animals, even for tzorich, for human beings. And then you begin to think of human beings as just animals. And whatever's good for an animal is good for a human being. Right? I once saw a study, heard it on the radio really, that they said that there's a certain percentage of horses that are homosexual. So they said, well, you see from there that it's part of nature. So it's natural for horses. So it's what's it called? Therefore, a certain percentage of human beings also, same thing. It's natural. That's all. It's part of nature. And therefore, it's okay, right, for people to be like that. I almost had to stop my car. It was the most ridiculous thing I've heard in my life. They spent thousands of dollars on this study. Right? I could have told them without any money, right, that, you know, there's some animals that eat other animals. They're cannibals. So that means that a certain percentage of people should be cannibals. Right? Just another way of life. Right? Just another, you know, some people eat people, some people eat meat, some people eat tomatoes, whatever. It's, you know, just your lifestyle. So you're going to be a lifestyle of a cannibal too. There's animals that steal from each other. So that means people should steal. Of course, people have the same tithes and the same instincts as animals. But the difference between an animal and a human being is that a human being can control it. He's supposed to control. He has free choice. An animal does what comes naturally, instinctively. But a human being has control. That's what makes a difference between an animal and a human being. They say that there's a pshat in the pasuk in Koheles. Mosar ha'adam in abehema ayin. The difference between an animal and a human being is that a human being can say ayin, no. Right? An animal has an instinct. You see something he wants to eat, he doesn't make any cheshbonos. maybe there's something better to eat later, maybe I get a stomach ache, I don't want to be fleshik, whatever it may be. He doesn't make those cheshbonos, right? He eats, finish. His instinct leads him to eat. Doesn't make any cheshbonos, just do what comes naturally. People have to make cheshbonos. Maybe this is not the thing to eat. Maybe it's not the time to eat. Yom Kippur, maybe I can't eat that, even though my instinct tells me it looks good. So that's the difference between animal and people. And when people begin to treat animals like people, then ultimately they begin to treat people like animals. And therefore, even though it's important to be a Baal Chesed and a Rachman on all of creation, but when you take it to an extreme and you distort it, it's very negative. It's for the right reason. The Rabbanu Shem gave animal world, the plant world, the mineral world in the hands of people, to serve people. Right? That is their purpose. Now, in serving people, you still have to have rachmanis on them. You have to have what's it called? You have to be a Baal Chesed, right? Even if that's their purpose. The famous Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, right, was walking, and a little lamb that was on the way to the slaughter came and nestled up to him, as if to say, "Save me." What's it called? Have rachmanis on me. And Rabbi Yehuda Nasi said, "Go, what you were created for." And for that, he had, I think, a toothache for 22 years, something like that. Now, what did he do wrong? He was right. That's what you were created for. You were created to serve human beings, to be shechted, and to be eaten. That's your tachlis. With all of that, right, he didn't mean that he was wrong for not stopping the animal from being shechted, from saving this poor animal from shechita. No, he was right, 100%. But you still have to have rachmanis. You still have to feel that this animal has to be killed in order to serve its purpose. Right? It could be a nicer way. So even if something is the right thing, but you still have to have rachmanis. And this week's Sedra, Rav Shach, says that Yaakov Avinu 100% justified to get the bracha that he deserved, that Esav wanted to take. Esav never mentioned to Yitzchak that he sold his bechora. He really was supposed to get the bracha. Whatever you learn, right? Oversimplified, Yaakov deserved that bracha. And he had to get it. Okay? And even though he had to get it by tricking his father, listening to his mother, right? That was the only way he could do it. Whatever the reasons are, not going into detail. That's what he had to get. It says, though, when Esav came in and he found out that he lost his brachas, by Yizak Zok Gedolum Mora, he cried a bitter cry. And that same Lashon is used later on in the Megillah. Mordechai also. So the Rabbanu Shem said, since you made Esav cry, that bitter cry, Mida Keneged Mida, one of your descendants is going to make such a cry too. So they asked, what was wrong? Yaakov did what was right. He was 100% justified. He was never held responsible for taking these brachas wrongly or whatever. So Esav cried. No, he deserved to cry. So you see from there that even if you do something 100% right, but you could have done it a little bit nicer and not to cause somebody pain, even if they deserved what you did, but they maybe didn't deserve that extra pain. He could have done it in a way that Esav wouldn't have, he's like Zaka Gedolu Mori, could have broken to him slowly or whatever. Whatever he could have done, and he didn't, for that he's held responsible. So therefore, in Hanani, it's true. Animals are created to serve man, and you're allowed to use them, and you're allowed to kill them, and you're allowed, in fact, there's a Tosus in Bava Basra who says that killing animals is not Tsar Bali Chaim. It's only if you torture them, you hurt them when they're alive. But to kill them, that's not Tsar, right? That's Baltashkis, maybe, if you kill them for no reason. But it's not Tsar Bali Chaim, because you're really causing them no pain. You're just killing them. Okay, it's not or the pain is for a moment. That's not called Tsar Bali Chaim. But in any case, but with all of that, if you can do it in a nicer way, then you have to do it in a nicer way, right? You can shecht an animal, and you can do it with a pen that causes the animal tremendous tsar, and you can do it in a nicer way. So do it in a nicer way, and it won't cause you any more expense and any more bother. Just means going out of your way a little bit, so then you have to go out of your way a little bit, and if not, you're going to be responsible for causing that animal pain that wasn't necessary. Okay. Okay.
Let's go back to what you said earlier about having to daven, or at least empathize with going, even if they're not
right.
What about in situations like you have two factions in Syria that are killing each other? I mean, a natural inclination that we have is...
Say, Baruch Hashem, right?
Yeah. Good luck.
Both of you be successful.
Right. Like by Iran-Iraq war. I mean, is that wrong? I mean, Lemaisa, you can say that, yeah, they should all be good, they should all do Jew and be good to Jews, but that's not happening. It's not going to happen.
No, it could be what you have to feel is the following. Right? The following. First, mitzad, the benefit that comes to Klai Yisrael that these two Rishoyim were fighting it out, they're busy with each other and not with us, Baruch Hashem. But the fact that it had to come to that, that people have to suffer, I feel bad for the people who are suffering. So, the people are perpetrating it on themselves, they blame themselves. But the Maya said a lot of innocent people suffering, right? Or people at least that you could have had this benefit in a different way. The fact that it had to happen in this way, right, is where do we find that? In Rashi and Vayishlach. Rashi says, what's it called? That Yaakov, Vayira Yaakov, Ma'ol Vayetzalo. Vayira Shema Yehorin. He was afraid that Esav would kill him, or kill one of his people. And Vayetzalo Shema Yaro Gacherin. Maybe he would have to kill somebody else. So they asked, what you worried about? Adarav. Kill 100 Esavs. Right, they're all about Rishoyim. But a tzaddik has to feel that if people have to suffer for the benefit to come, it's also not good. Gam onush l'tzaddik lo tov. Could have happened in a nicer way. If it happens in a way that causes people tzar, I feel bad about that. I feel good about the result because that result is a good result. But the result could have happened in a nicer way. If it happens in a less nice way, there's something to feel bad about. That's the difference. Okay. We didn't learn any halacha last time. In the middle.